Thanks for tuning in to another cast from TealTownUSA.com. In this episode, we speak with the one and only Drew Remenda and discuss the changes in the Oilers broadcast booth, expectations for the upcoming Edmonton Oilers season, the Sharks getting Erik Karlsson, how long Joe Thornton can go, and more. Welcome, Drew, to the show here. And if there was only some news, we had to talk about the Sharks. But first, for those of unaware, it has been announced that you'll be moving to the studio for the intermission reports on the Edmonton Oilers broadcast as Louis DeBrusque returns. And will anything change in your analysis in its transition? Like, should Brody Brazil or Curtis Brown be nervous right now?
Brody Brazil, Curtis Brown, the way they act, they should always be nervous. I think when... you know, this is not, it's not an ideal for me personally. It's not what I want, but Sportsnet looked at it as being, when you look at Louis DeBrusque in particular, he is what my boss calls a star. He called him a rising star, and without a doubt he is. He does the Hockey Night in Canada stuff on Saturdays and the big games on Sundays. And so my boss, Rod Corte, looked at it and said, well, why wouldn't we put him on as much as we could? And I think he's absolutely right. The other aspect of it is, and you know, AJ, you and I talked about it with Erik Melaire's on last time, is that Oilers fans didn't exactly take to me as the color analyst for the Edmonton Oilers. And so I think Sportsnet listened to them, and good on them. I mean, if you're running a network and you have a business and you have the people that you're broadcasting to aren't particularly enamored with the person who's doing most of the talking on the air, then you got to hand it to Sportsnet for listening to the Oilers fans. So I think from an Oilers fan point of view, they should be happy in listening to that. That Rogers and Sportsnet is listening to them and saying, "Okay, we hear you, and we're going to make this change." I still get to have a job in hockey. I still get to do talk about hockey, and I'll do a handful of games, about 20 games as color analyst, and I'll do all the panel stuff with the Oilers. The one thing I'm really looking forward to is the fact that it does give me more time in between the periods to actually do what I'm good at, which is analyze the game, which is be able to break down the game. You don't get to do it very much anymore from a color point of view when you, because it's the game's so quick and the commercials are short and the breaks are short, so the game is so sped up that you don't get to reanalyze anymore. And I'll get to do that more in between the Oilers games. So that aspect I'm looking forward to.
I'd have no problems watching 15 minutes of Drew's Clues.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you. The one thing that I think the difference too is when you look at Louis and you look at me, Louis is he's immensely more likable than I am.
I don't believe that, but okay.
It's not hard to be, and you know that as well as I do. The other aspect is, he's a former player. I'm a former coach. And players look at the game way differently than coaches do, and we know that. The coaches look at players look at the game and Louis's a really positive, upbeat guy. And you know me, not so much. I'm not saying that I'm dour. I did change my tone. We talked about tone last time. You know, we were talking about how partner teams, partner clubs and networks, and they want the uplifting, upbeat, let's always be positive, silver lining type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but when you have 78 points in a season after you had 103, it's hard to be positive on a lot of nights. And Louis does that really well. He is able to be a very upbeat, positive guy, even when some of the stuff that you're watching isn't that. I'm not saying he's a homer. I'm just saying he sees the plus. Like players, they see the plus side of a play. As a coach or an ex-coach, especially in my role in the NHL, being, you know, doing most of the video, doing all the video and being upstairs, you looked for mistakes. You looked like, why did that goal go in? What did we do wrong there? Or what, and you look at other teams, their weaknesses, you look to try to exploit. So I would always kind of approach games. AJ, you listened to me enough when I was with the Sharks. I would approach goals or games or plays based on what mistake was made here, and this is how they should correct it. Louis doesn't do that. And I think more and more fans, more and more networks, more and more teams, and I get that. I get that's the way things are going. And I would be this too, and I'll be 100% honest with you, that I think over the last 3 years in particular, Louis has really improved as a broadcaster from where he was to where he is now. And I can't say I've done the same thing. I really can't. I can't be honest with you and say, you know, I'd say I've kept pace. I've improved my game for the last number of years. I've changed my game, but I'm not sure that I've improved it. And I think Louis has. And I'll leave it this last thing with you on you know, my situation. You know me. I love combat sports. I love UFC. And I'm a big fan of boxing. And in UFC, there's a guy named Brian Stamm. He used to be a fighter, mm-hmm. and then he became a commentator. He was commentator when Joe Rogan wasn't doing the big Fox fights, things like that. He would be the guy. Good looking, ex-fighter, real smart college guy. And then he was going to be just taken care of really well in his life if he just kept commentating. And then one day he just up and quit. He just left the UFC. And he went back to school and went back and got a real job. And when they asked him about it, he said, just because they like you at 35 doesn't mean they're going to like you at 45. And so I think about that all the time. And so in my case, just because they like me at 45 doesn't mean they're going to like me at 55. And I think about that all the time. And I think maybe Brian Stamm was really onto something there. You're not always going to be lovable and likable, and you're not always be the guy, the next star. Yes, in San Jose it was great, and I've got the Emmys to prove that I know that I'm doing what I knew what I was doing. But just because they like me at 45 doesn't mean they're going to like me at 55. So you can't take it personal. You can't be all downtrodden and sad that, oh, my job's changed and booby, booby, boo-boo. You know, I still have a job in hockey. I still get to talk about hockey. It's just that my role has changed. And so go do it the best you can. Prepare as best you can. You still do. Like, watch all the games that you do and be as professional as possible. I always keep that in my head. Like Brian Stamm said, just because they like you at 35 doesn't mean they like you at 45.
Yeah.
So I think, and that's a long-winded answer on how my role has changed. But at the same time, I still get to do what I love to do, which is talk about hockey. And those things that, when you look at the changes for the Oilers, they get an ex-Oiler back. They get a guy back who's an absolute star and is an absolutely wonderful individual. He's a super guy, a total pro. So I think Oilers fans will be happy.
Well, it has been a relatively quiet offseason for the Oilers. I mean, aside from the changes behind the bench that we discussed last time, the Oilers, you know, brought in forwards like Chiasson and Upshaw on PTOs, despite Upshaw.
Brodziak.
Yeah.
They signed Kyle Brodziak. I think when you look at the Oilers, I think the big thing is, you're right. They haven't done much, but they really couldn't do much when you look at their cap situation. But Tobias Reeder is one out of the signings and the PTOs that they've got. I think Tobias Reeder is going to surprise some people. You've seen him in L.A. He was underutilized the last couple of years. I think he's a player that can make a difference, and I think he'll be motivated in a one-year deal. I think I'm looking for, and I like Kyle Brodziak because Kyle's one of those just solid guys that you need on your team, on those support guys in the third and fourth line that will do anything you ask him to, and they'll bring in some fresh blood and some energy. But I think Tobias Reeder might surprise some people.
Well, what's going on with Darnell Nurse and this contract holdout? We know Talbot is in his final year. Like, how do you see this season starting off, especially when you contrast it to the disappointing start of last year?
I think Darnell will end up being in camp. It's going to be a bridge deal because they don't have the room to make any more of a commitment to Darnell. But Darnell wants to be there. He's a big part of that team. I am president of this kid's fan club. This kid is a hell of a player. He's only getting better. AJ, he's as tough as nails. He is a guy who trains in martial arts in the summer, so I automatically love him. He's got a great attitude. He's so easygoing. He never gets down too low. He looks at every day in the National Hockey League as a privilege and a joy. He's great to be around. And like I said, he's only getting better and getting more confident. And he's going to be a big part of the Oilers' success. He has to be, and I think he'll get the deal done. It probably won't be a fair deal to Darnell because of his ability and his comparables around the league, but he'll, if you look at what the Oilers have available to offer him, that's pretty much all he's going to be able to get. So it'll be a shorter term deep bridge deal, but he'll make him pay on the other end when he has, you know, two or three really good years and it builds to his resume. But I can't say enough good things about this kid. He is my favorite person on the Oilers. He is an exceptional young man from a real good family and, you know, pretty athletic family. His uncle is Donovan McNabb. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh.
His dad played football. His sister's Kia, who plays, she plays NCAA basketball, U.S. college. I can't remember where she plays now, so he's going to be mad at me for that. Excuse me, but he comes from a very athletic family. He's naturally gifted, but I think they'll get that done. A big part of that team. And just to go back and to talk about the Oilers and where they go from here, they have a very interesting start as far as the schedule goes. Start in Europe. They're going to play Cologne Sharks on the October 3rd in a preseason game. That's Leon Draisaitl's Jazz team. So that'll be a nice homecoming for Leon. And then they play the New Jersey Devils and Taylor Hall October 6th in Gothenburg, Sweden. And that is the start of their season. And then they play a game, fly back to North America, play Boston, New York, and Winnipeg. That's to start the season.
Oof.
So, hey, welcome. I think the first 16 days of the season, they are on the road. It is not an easy start. So you better have it all tucked in before you head off on the plane to Europe.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's like the NHL paying them back for all those first-round picks they had. No, I'm kidding.
You got to pay somewhere down the line, don't you?
Well, right? I mean, because we've seen
exactly.
These... I mean, Vegas, L.A., San Jose has all made some major moves in this offseason. And if the Oilers have another year where they miss, I mean, do you think that signals the end for the Todd McClellan era in Edmonton? And, I mean, does Chiarelli go with them?
Well, that I don't know about Peter, but for certainly Todd would be the first guy out the door. They would, and I think Todd would probably agree with the decision if he's not able to get him going. Bob McKenzie was on, has his own podcast on TSN, and he said, if the Oilers miss the playoffs, and this I'm paraphrasing, but I'm trying to get the quote right, if the Oilers miss the playoffs, it's a crime against hockey humanity. Because you've got the best player in the world in Connor, and with a lot of good young talent, if you're not able to make the playoffs with the best player in the world, then there's just something wrong. So yeah, I'm sure that they've brought in, you know, last time we talked, I told you that Trent Yoni was going to come in. I told you that Glenn Gallison was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So Glenn and Trent have come in, two guys from Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, being a Saskatoon guy. and a guy named Manny Viveros, who coached the Swift Current Broncos in the Western Hockey League. We know Trent. You know, Trent was in San Jose. I love Trent. And Glenn, I know a little bit. They're all good coaches. Jimmy Johnson and Ian Herbert are good coaches. They're all good coaches once they get to that level. It's going to be a different tone, a different set of plans when it goes to the power play and penalty kill and the way they play defense. But Todd definitely is the guy that's going to be on the hot seat, without a doubt. He knows that, though. He's not a dumb guy. And I do believe this is the fourth year. It's either the fourth year of his deal or the fifth, the last year of his deal. Either way, he knows. I mean, he knows exactly what the situation is. He's not a dumb guy. And the one thing about Todd, and this is what I loved about Todd from day one when he came into the San Jose Sharks, every game, and I got to listen to him do it all the time. First thing he'd say is, okay, what did we do well as coaches? What did we do wrong as coaches? They looked in the mirror, the coaches, and he forced the coaches to look in the mirror. Okay, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? Before they even started looking at any deal of the team. And at the end of last year, he came out and said, well, first off, I've got to be better. I've got to be much better than I was this year. 78 points, that falls on me. And he was very upfront about it. And when he talks about that, I'm not sure, you know, how he thinks he needs to get better. One thing he did mention was being honest with them, the players, using, say, this year or last year, I should say, as motivation, and remembering why you got to 78 points, but not activity all the time. Not always hammering them on, you've got to be this, you've got to be that. Last year, he talked a lot about managing the expectations because they had 103 points and very nearly got to the third round in the playoffs. And they tried to manage expectations by dampening them. And I think by dampening those expectations, a little negativity creeped into the room when they didn't start the season the way they wanted. So he wants to remove that negativity this year. And at the same time, light that fire of don't forget, you know, it can easily slip away, but it can also easily go, not easily, but it can go the other way if we make sure we get everything going in the right direction. And we've got to get everything going in the right direction early. So I think you'll probably hear and see a different message tone and the way that he sends the messages out to the players this year than he did last year.
Well, I mean, who knows? That trip to Europe could actually end up being of a benefit if it brings the team closer together to focus on a good start this season. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's up to the players to make it a positive. You know, for Leon, it's going to be great because Leon's a young guy, gets to come back, and he's going to host this team, his dad's team. And I think the players will rally around Leon. They really like him. And then coming back, if you can get off that start and get through get through October and be in a situation where you're got more wins than losses, you're going to be thinking, okay, that was hard to start, but we got through it, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with the Oilers, though, is, and you've been around the Sharks, you know, longer than me now. You know what happens with teams is that if things go south early, you know, you can use that trip as an excuse. If things go positive for you, you can use that as a positive, as a launching point for yourself. So it really is up to the individual play, and don't get too wrapped up in, you know, it's like you're on the golf course and you're on number 12 and you're playing really well and you start playing in your head, okay, if I just par 12 and I'm shot maybe a birdie 13, 14 and 15, I just got to make sure I just keep it in the fairway, and you start playing the game in your head way ahead of yourself, and next thing you know, you're shooting 95. so you had a chance to par in, but instead you screwed it up because you got out of your head and didn't stay in the moment. So stay in the moment, play the game the way you're supposed to play it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, the other big news out of hockey today, Tyler Seguin. I mean, the Sharks traded for Erik Karlsson. You think this is going to have, like, the same impact that Joe Thornton's arrival led to?
Yes. This is a special hockey player. And, you know, you look at Doug Wilson. You think about the trades Doug Wilson's made. You've got Joe Thornton, Dan Boyle, Danny Heatley, Brent Burns, Martin Jones, and now you bring in Erik Karlsson, one of the best defensemen in the game. You've got now two of the best defensemen in the game from an offensive point of view. You've got one of the best defensive defensemen and pretty much mistake-free player in Mark-Edward Vlasic, and you've got one of the most unsung, underrated players in Justin Braun. So let's say you're playing, if I'm coaching against the San Jose Sharks, and I'm looking at my lineup, and I'm looking at their lineup, and I'm thinking of my matchups, and I'm thinking, okay, who am I going to put out against Burns and probably Joaquin Ryan? Who knows what Peter's going to do? Well, let's say it's Ryan. Okay, well, I'm going to put that line out there. So how can I get away from, oh, no, I can't, it's because Erik Karlsson and Mark-Edward Vlasic are coming up next, so I'm not going to be able to get away from them. Okay, well, I'll go to their fourth and their fifth and sixth defense, but wait a second, that's Brendan Dillon and Justin Braun. Where do they get a chance to get a break? They don't. You don't. So when you look at the San Jose Sharks right now, their defense core, their top four are as good as any in the National Hockey League. And their core six, their six guys are, if they're not the best defense core in the National Hockey League, they're right behind the best defense core when I think that's Nashville. And it's real close now.
Yeah.
this is a move that changes your team. This is a change of, it's like Joe Thornton coming in. He can immediately change that team. Erik Karlsson comes in. And if people don't know Erik, and, you know, being broadcasters, and we get a chance to be around these guys and go in and out and talk to them, Erik Karlsson is one of the best young men on the planet. As far as, he's an upbeat guy, he's smiling, he's fun to be around, he's very honest when he talks to the media. People will fall in love with this guy in San Jose because he is such a personable young man. But then you look at his game, because the way he plays, forget it. I mean, for crying out loud, he can do everything with it. He is as good with the puck as anybody in the NHL. He can move the puck up with a good pass, or he can use his feet to get the puck out of trouble. He can hit. He can set people up. He can score goals. He's the real deal. You look at his season last year, and it wasn't a very good season for the Ottawa Senators, and it wasn't actually a very good season for Erik Karlsson. Mm-hmm. He goes all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. He has surgery in the offseason, and they have to basically restructure, repair his ankle. He comes off of that, doesn't have any training camp, and I don't care who you are, you miss training camp, you're behind the eight ball. You're in trouble. They get off to a bad start. Their season doesn't go very well, but he still leads their team in assists. He still plays majority all-star. He is that type of guy. He went through a lot of personal thing last year, real tough for him, but he still is what he did with it. You know, we all know the story about Mike Hoffman's girlfriend, Monica Carrick, and Erik Karlsson's wife and all that crap. And what did Erik and Melinda, his wife, do? They started a campaign just a couple of days ago here in Canada to combat cyberbullying. The guy's a prince, man. You got a good one there. And really, Doug didn't give up too much for him. I like DeMello. I like Carey a lot. But there's more guys. There's three and four, you know, maybe third and fourth line guys, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe third line guys. Maybe they could pop up here and there. But you have got one of the best in the game. You gave up some prospects. You're going to give up some draft choices. But it's the only gamble is, can you re-sign him? But I don't know. I can only think of one guy who didn't re-sign in San Jose, and that was Brian Campbell. And he got the drawback because, you know, from his wife into Chicago. And you couldn't blame him for that. But it's a...
I was worried you were going to bring up Eddie Belfour.
Oh, God, Eddie Belfour. That was during my 1 year sabbatical with the, my first sabbatical with the, was that my, yeah, that was when I was coaching in Kansas City. That was right. That was Eddie Belfour. So I was out by then. But you've got a fantastic hockey player, one of the best in the game, and it completely changes the complexion of the San Jose Sharks. It's a home run and some by Doug.
How odd do you find it that both Hoffman and Karlsson were Sharks, even if for only for a hot second? It's just so weird.
Well, it should have clued us in, though. And I thought about that today, AJ. It's funny you say that. When Doug moved Hoffman right away, because Hoffman's a hell of a player. He's a good hockey player. And Doug ended up getting more for Hoffman than Ottawa got from Doug. When he moved Hoffman right away, you had to think to yourself, well, why would he do that? And now we know why.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wild to have them both in the same team again?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. But you I could hear like the Joker from the Batman movie in my head already saying, you know, it's all part of the plan.
Well, I tell you what, it's a hell of a move by Doug, and it makes that team one of the favorites in the West, without a doubt.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier with the pairings. I mean, as a coach, you're saying that you would move Braun down with Dylan, or would you keep Braun and Vlasic together? Although, obviously, you can't put Karlsson with Dylan on a third pairing for one of the best defensemen.
That's why. As much as I like, you can always go back if you're Peter DeBoer, and I know Rob Zettler, you know, runs the defense. I think he does anyway. You can always go back to those guys. You can shorten it if you have to. But I think if you look at it, those left, right, left, right, left, right. So you get lefties, righties playing with each other. So Karlsson, Burns, and Braun are righties, and then everybody else is lefties. I think I'm right there.
Yes, you are.
So that makes sense to me. And Justin, to me, proves that he can shows that he can play anywhere. he with anyone. He's that good. I really think he's one of the unsung guys in the National Hockey League. And as I said, you can shorten the bench. You can pop Ryan off and move Dylan to play with Burns, or you can throw out Justin and you can have two righties play together. Who knows? Lots of things change during the games, and through 82 games, you're going to see some different combinations. But that was just off the top of my head thinking about what Peter might want to look at. That was the first pairing, or first group of pairings that I came up with.
Yeah. And as a coach, what would your power play units look like with this?
Well, that's a great question, isn't it? So what am I doing on my power play? Am I going to go Carlson and Burns on the same power play unit with Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, and Logan? That's not bad.
That's not bad, especially that saves Hurdle and Kane for the next unit.
Exactly. You just see Hurdle and Kane, and then we know that Mark Edward Vlasic can play in the power play. We've seen him. Justin Braun can do it too. He's got a good shot. He can get to the net. What I like about Justin is that he doesn't take too much time in getting it there, so you're fine there. Or you can mix those pairings up, and you can have Carlson and Burns go out for a different unit. Or hell, just keep those two guys on the ice for the whole 2 minutes. Alexander Ovechkin does it. I don't see why those two guys can't.
Right.
Or one of the two guys. So when you look at that power play unit, every guy on that first unit is a threat to score. So what do I do? I better make sure if I'm playing against them, I don't take penalties. And number two, if I do, I'm going to have to make sure that I play it as well as I can. If you make any mistake on a penalty kill against those five guys on the ice, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
He changes so much. And let's not forget, I don't believe Joe Thornton will hurt another knee. I really don't. I think he's got two, and I think he's been constructed there. He's going to be okay. So he's going to come back fresh. And again, Joe Thornton is Joe Thornton, man. I mean, you can't ask for a better person. You can't ask for a more talented player. You can't ask for a guy who loves the game more and wants to come back and prove something. You've got Pavelski and Thornton and Burns and Logan, who have been on the same power play for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Is that right? Eight, 9 years, 10 years together? So they know where each other's going. And now you throw Carlson in that mix. He's kind of a little bit of a wild card, but he'll adapt. Oh, my goodness me, look out.
Yeah, I'm so not having a problem with any of this right now.
This is like hockey fan fiction. You're a Shark fan.
Well, conversely, though, we obviously see some players leave. With Chris Tierney gone, I mean, who do you look for to take over that third center spot? I mean, I just can't see the Sharks putting Hurdle back there, trying him there yet again, especially with the success he's had on Couture's wing. I mean, does Carlson automatically get that slot to, Suomela or Gambrell or somebody fight it out?
Yeah,
or does Doug take advantage of the space he still has left?
I think he keeps the space, and he'll wait a little bit. I think Suomela would be the young man who goes, anti Suomela, is that how you say it?
I believe so.
He led the Finnish Liga last year in scoring. He is a very talented centerman, from what I understand. He is a guy that can make plays and put the puck in the net. I think he gets that first crack at third-line center. And then Doug will keep this. Doug always says, we're not done until the trade deadline is over. Mm-hmm. He always says that. He said that since his first day as a general manager. And I think he'll keep space in his pocket, and when he's able to find to go get somebody, he'll go get somebody to try to make the push. So I think they'll give Suomela the chance at third line, and then they'll work it from there. But from what reports that I've read about Antti is that he is a heck of a player, and he's young. He's only 24.
Yeah.
So he's got some young legs there. So I think 24. So that was pretty nice sign there too. So I think with Doug, he is getting this piece of the puzzle is big. Third line center, fourth line guy, they'll work themselves out as the season progresses.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how this fourth line kind of shakes out, whether it's a combination of Gambrell or Carlson, or I'd really like to see Marcus Sorensen parlay some of his playoff success into regular season success.
I like him.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's a key player. I think he's a smart player. I think he's a guy that will go into some heavy traffic areas. And I agree with you. And that's what they're hoping for. You know, he had a really good playoffs. And if he plays that straight ahead game, that fourth line, you don't really need to worry about your fourth line, third line, fourth line guys during the season that much. It's during the playoffs is when you really need them, is when you really count on those guys. Because, you know, your big guys are going to play a lot of minutes, those regular 82. But if you look at Sorokin and let him develop and let those third and fourth lines just go out and play and keep you even and keep you, as you know, keep the momentum on your side, they're going to be fine.
Yeah. And I thought Marcus Sorensen, during that series against Edmonton two playoffs ago, I thought Sorensen was one of the best Sharks on the ice. Now, I don't know that that says a whole lot for the other Sharks that were on the ice in that series, but
yeah.
I thought Sorensen played a heck of a...
Yeah, but I think he's had a couple. When you look at a couple of his playoffs, you look at him and go, yeah, there's real potential there. There is real tangible things that you've seen him in the biggest games play his best games, and I think that's a great sign for a young player.
Let me ask you to put on your general manager cap for a second, though, and ask you...
Oh, God, I wish I was a general manager in this league. Holy mackerel.
Well, with $35 million tied up in long deals for Kane, Couture, Burns, Vlasic, Jones, even Hurdle to a lesser extent, I mean, do you think Wilson can sign Carlson long-term? I mean, obviously, Thornton and Pavelski on the last of their deals right now.
Yeah, I think he can. Doug wouldn't have traded for him and given up two solid players, especially and all those picks, without thinking he could re-sign him and knowing that math goes. It's going to be Brent Burns, Drew Doughty money, but that's fine. He knows that. He knows what Carlson's value is. I think, yeah, he can. It'll take some creative bookkeeping. It'll take the fact that the cap will go up a little bit, but he'll be able to re-sign him. I don't think that's going to be any question. The question will be, after, and I think this is an interesting thing when you look at the Sharks. You mentioned Pavelski, we know Joe Thornton's, you know, at his age, and we know that Joe's, you know, is Joe going to keep playing? How long is he going to keep playing? All those things. And you look at the way that some of the other players are getting a little bit older. Doug is looking at this, I believe, with this Carlson deal. I think he's definitely sending a signal to everybody on this team that we're going for it here and now. We'll worry about signing everybody in the future. But right now, right here, Doug has just sent this message to his team. And this is what happens when general managers go out and get a player who can absolutely 100% change your team and be an impact player like Erik Karlsson. Your general manager has just changed the chemistry in the room, and in a good way, because players recognize that. Players sit around, they recognize that. They look and go, okay, nicely done, DW. Okay, here we go. So that trade sends a message. And the other aspect is, like I said, we'll worry about signing them as we get things going, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Let's just make sure we get this team rolling in the right direction, and then we'll get all the rest of that stuff done.
I'm going to be real interested to see just how long Thornton goes when he finally does decide that it's over. I mean, you look at some guys like Lidstrom, Chelios, Ray Bourque, yeah. Al MacInnis. I mean, guys that were able to just really go for a long time. But those guys were all defensemen.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is, I believe this 100%. Joe will make them rip the jersey off his back. He will play for as long as he can. And I had this discussion a couple of years ago about Joe. As I told you, I'm a big fight fan. You know, I've taken martial arts most of my adult life, and I practice I spar, but I'm going to hit a bag, for Christ's sake, and I've got pads on my head, but I love UFC, and I love mixed martial arts. And Conor McGregor is one of my favorite fighters because he's brash and he's talented and he's confident. And when he won the championship against Jose Aldo, it took him all of about 13 seconds. Jose Aldo hadn't been beaten 10 years. And when he was interviewed after, he said, "Timing beats speed." And when you look at Joe Thornton, that's what I think about. And it was timing beats speed and accuracy beats power. Well, that's Joe Thornton. Timing beats speed and accuracy beats power, because Joe Thornton and his timing and the way he plays, yes, he's not as fast as he used to be, and he's not as fast as everybody else in the National Hockey League, but his timing at being able to get to the puck, create space for himself, find the right guy at the right time, and make the right pass at the right time, there's very few players in the National Hockey League who are that good at that. And his accuracy on putting the puck on the tape, again, one of the best passers we've ever seen in our generation. So That's why I always think of Conor McGregor and timing beats speed and accuracy beats power the way that when I watch Joe Thornton. I don't think you have to worry about Joe for a while yet. I think this will be a year that he's very motivated to come back. Well, I know it is. And he still wants to prove he's one of the elite players in the league.
Yeah, I think you have a T-shirt in the works, my friend. That needs to be on a T-shirt. Absolutely. I would be I'd be printing those off tomorrow.
I think Conor McGregor might have the patent on that one, though, so I don't want to cross him.
I mean, Joe Thornton, we're talking about a guy, I believe you guys had the call, Joe Thornton using the glass as almost like a mirror to find Marlowe in front of the net.
Yeah, always did. I mean, he's just such an intelligent player and such a talented player so well that I don't worry about Jumbo very often. I tell you, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about the facial hair than anything. We don't need Kadri ripping out more next time.
I don't know even what to do. Maybe it's jealousy on my part. You know, anybody growing hair is kind of jealous of that, obviously. But honestly, he and Burns, you need to just let it go. Okay, we get it. You guys can grow beards, they're really wild. Knock it off. Shave those things off. The wind drag alone would increase Joe's speed, for crying out loud.
Right?
It'd be less drag, right? You know?
Well,
I would think.
Did you notice that Curtis Brown had a little salad, little chin curtains going on for all of last season? But he just recently lost, I think it was an auction or something, and Thornton wasn't around to pay it off, so he had to shave. Now he's got kind of the porn stash going or something. I don't even know what you call it. It looks very 70s.
You know what that shows? It shows you can take the boy out of Saskatchewan, but you can't take Saskatchewan out of the boy right there when Brown does stuff like that.
Well, and have you noticed any of the Sharks promotional items? Because, you know, it seems like as we've gone on, the Sharks have, you know, it used to be like a magnet schedule at the beginning of the season. You might get something at the end. But now there's been a lot of push to do more promotional items. And they're doing one this season I think is so funny because we all know Thornton, while he can drop the gloves, that's not what you count on him for. But we do have that big throwdown between Nazem Kadri last season where Kadri pulled out a chunk of Jumbo's hair. And
pulled his beard.
Yeah, and so this season the Sharks have a bobblehead on one night where Joe is in a fighting pose. Part of his beard is ripped out, and the part that is ripped out is stuck to the base of the bobblehead.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good. That'll be a good one to say. That's really good.
Right. I thought that was one of the most creative bobbleheads I've ever seen.
Very much so. You got to take advantage of it. Yeah. That beard is folklore without a doubt, but I mean, it's time. All right? It's time. Can we not just give that up?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, man.
My wife says the same thing all the time. She goes, "He's such a good looking guy. What's got that beard?"
And that damn racing streak down the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Oh, it's great.
Mind you, again, it's mostly jealousy on my part.
No. Well, thanks so much for joining us again. I hope we can talk again once the season gets going. And I want to see both these teams, the Oilers and the Sharks, get off to solid starts this year.
Thanks, AJ. Always good talking to you, my friend.
You too, man. Thanks for tuning in to another cast from Teal Town USA. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Teal Town USA. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and find us on the web at tealtownusa.com.